We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to the March Madness edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, who still has a glow about him because of what the Miami Hurricanes did in the Women's ACC Tournament. And we're going to get to that. But they, oh my gosh, Katie Ma, I love you, girlfriend. She did that down there. But
oh, I forgot to tell you before we got on the podcast. I talked to Katie Meyer about you.
About me?
About you, because I had mentioned that we talked about the pig picking in Fayetteville. And she had brought it up before the tournament started, and she mentioned that you gave her a little scar in her eye.
Oh man, playing days. Hey Katie, look, you know, that was inadvertent contact in the scrum of things, and who knew you were behind me? Like, but she knows I love her. We were the mullets, we had the mullets going on, and yeah, back in the day, so we were good friends.
No, she brought it up. It was super funny. She said it was in the spirit of competition, it wasn't the truth.
There. She understands. She just
said you had some sharp elbows back in the
ACC. Pokey Chapman told me that from AAU basketball, but I'm like, you weren't even down there. Like, what are you talking about? But anyway.
But yeah, so the Cades pulled off some crazy stuff. I talked about on a podcast on Tuesday with some folks I got to catch up with at the ACC tournament. Megan did her show from the Big East tournament. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about the SEC. The only conference that we haven't talked about, Christy, is yours, the Big Ten. You were at every game in Indianapolis, so I want to get your perspective. But first, got to mention to people, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to do a lot more stuff here in March to get you all set up for March Madness. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Her Hoop Stats. Our Twitter names, I think, just popped up. They're down below us. You can see them. So follow us on Twitter as well, because we're doing all things March. I mean, I'm like now, I feel like I'm like an addict at this point. Like now I'm just going to go watch any basketball game. Like I was looking for any basketball game this week because the Wizards are out of town and the Capital City Go-Go are out of town. I was like, okay, I'm not going to get any pro ball. So going to stick with college. I'm going to go to the Patriot League semifinal between American and Boston U tonight, which was last night because you guys are listening to this on Friday. But but it's gonna be really fun. So I'm so hopped up for basketball. So I'm excited to talk about the Big Ten tournament.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and break this out right now because you know I got you this t-shirt. You wanted that Nia Klouden thing. I could bring one back for you. Can y'all see it?
Is it
on the screen?
It is on the screen.
So when I see you, Gabe, You know, I mean, I could Amazon Prime it too, no. But I don't know what that'll cost. So I'll see you soon and yes. Hand you over this nice gift. I'll put it in a bag and everything and gift Aww. It up for you. Yeah.
Thank you, Christy. But
man, that Big Ten tournament, so many crazy games. The first day, you know, Rutgers really fighting mm-hmm. for everything that they got this season. And they really showed well on that first day. The same with Illinois. I mean, I think they hit 15 threes or something insane. So you could really see the sense of urgency with all of the teams. But I just thought as the week went on, you saw the defensive teams coming out on top.
Yep.
You know, and when you have a team like Indiana playing Maryland on a Friday, when at the beginning of the season, Gabe, we were talking about these two teams battling it out possibly mm-hmm. for the championship. And here we are on not even in the semis, having that matchup. And for Indiana to go ahead and do what they did, I think, honestly, 4 games in 4 days, I think they ran out of steam. But credit Iowa for what they were able to do to understand that and take home the crown. So it was really intriguing, you know, to watch the fight of the seniors who were out there. You know, I think Northwestern gave up a good fight. But I think at the end of the day, you have to be able to have staunch defense, but you also have to be able to put the ball in the basket. And I think the teams that struggled had those lapses on the offensive side where they would get quality stops and boards and they would come down the other side and would have 4 or 5 empty possessions that got them in a hole they couldn't recover from. And then, you know, for Indiana in that instance in the championship game, you add in the fact that fatigue mm-hmm. is a factor, even though you don't want to recognize it as a competitor, you know, it is for there sure. in the back of your head. I mean, I know, you know, when Maryland was in the ACC and we went back to back titles, tournament titles, you know, that third game, I wasn't thinking about fatigue. So, I mean, I don't know how much we didn't concentrate on it, but it was definitely a factor. It was definitely a factor. Yeah.
Well, I think you can't think about it, right? Because if you start thinking about, I'm tired, you're going to be more tired. So I think the best teams in these tournaments, and you look at any tournament, the teams who had to play those 4 games, who had to make it from the second round to the final, you had Miami do that, you had Kentucky do that, you had Indiana do that. Those teams just kind of put that to the back burner and said, we're just playing basketball. And honestly, I want to get your take on this. Like, I think it's going to be really beneficial, especially for Indiana, to have mm-hmm. this run because, I mean, obviously getting to the championship is a great accomplishment. I'm saying from sure. a fatigue, from a stamina perspective, this team has been hurt for a lot of the season. They've just, in the last, 2 weeks, gotten fully healthy. And now to be able to go on this run where it's like you just have to dig deep, you have to get your body into shape. It's almost like a conditioning conditioning exercise here to get your body in shape for what's going to happen in the tournament. And then they have this week off to rest from that and get ready for the tournament. So I think it's really going to be beneficial for Indiana that they started as the 5 seed and made it to the championship. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Indiana lost 4 of their last 5 games in the regular season. So they were definitely not trending in the proper direction, you know, for any kind of March momentum. So for them to go into the tournament and get to the championship game and beat some really quality teams, top 10 teams on the way there. I mean, Mackenzie Holmes still didn't look like she was 100% in terms of her cardio. I mean, mm-hmm. she was able to, I think she had 17-9 maybe against Maryland. Yeah. I'm not sure of her rebounds, but I know she had 17. And she was, I mean, they needed all those. So it wasn't like she couldn't compete or looked injured or anything like that, but she's still rounding into form in terms of getting herself back with that knee injury. And so for the entire team, I think she meant so much, obviously, in her absence and them just getting her back. And she wasn't necessarily on a minutes restriction, but I mean, there was a time she took, it was like a mid-range shot and it came up just a tiny bit short and coach took her out because I think she knew she didn't have her legs under her. Yeah. And it was, you know, she was fatigued. So it's just interesting to see how one player changes everything.
No, and, you know, Monica Sozano really took advantage of of that, of Mackenzie Holmes not being all the way back yet. Because I agree with you, by the end of that championship game, she was she just wasn't fully healthy. And I think Susanna just took advantage of that and, you know, bowled into her and got a lot of points. And we'll talk about Monica Susanna. We could talk about her right now. But think for Indiana, like, you know, they could have won that championship game. They had really good looks late that just didn't fall. Yeah. I think it goes back to not having the legs. And I think having this tournament run is going to get some legs under them. And hopefully this week of rest will help them get healthy in order to, compete on the national stage, which I think they will. I think they will be able to do. I think they'll be able to compete for a Final Four. We'll get to that a little bit. We do have to talk a little bit more about the law firm of Susanna and Clark, as you like to call them.
Hey, man. Woo. That thing blew up, didn't it? They have t-shirts. You know what? Caitlin Clark said she was going to send me a t-shirt. She inboxed me and she was like, this is what you wanted. Now we have these t-shirts and, you know, anyway, it's so cool. I just think with the NIL and all of that, mm-hmm. and I kind of made a joke early in the season. I was like, mm-hmm. you know, you need to put that on a t-shirt, and then boom, there it is. And then apparently they all sold out like within a day.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was going to buy insane. One. Mm.
Yeah. Well, they might restock, but I will say that kind of like blew up into like a Twitter fire with the, with the link to buy one. But you know, I call them the law firm because they just command so much, you know, authority on the court. They're just amazing when it comes to their chemistry, and they're just in sync with one another. And you can't discredit that and say, well, she's doing what she's doing inside and Caitlin Clark's doing what she's doing outside. And it's not just about their scoring ability. It's about, you know, screen assist for Monica Sinano. It's about, you know, the ability for Caitlin Clark not only to lead the country in scoring, but also to lead the country in assist mm-hmm. with 8 assists a game. So she's a monster and she knows her teammates very well. So you have to give them credit for what they've been able to do. And that's why they won the championship. And it's not just because Monica Sinano had 30 points. She did go off, But I think, you know, on the Her Hoop stats, stat logs and all of that, I would like to see how many of Monica's points came from Caitlin Clark. Like of her 30, like how many of those did Caitlin Clark assist her on? And I'm sure it's probably more than half. Had to have been more than half. I know some of them she got putbacks on rebounds and stuff like that. But I'm sorry, like she had to have assisted on more than 50% of her offense in that championship game.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at it right now. Caitlin Clark only ended up with 2 assists. I'm with you. I was watching that and I was like, you know, now I'm looking at that assist number. I'm like, there's no way. I mean, Kate Martin ended up with 8. McKenna Warnock ended up with 5. And I think what was happening, it's to your point, that what was happening is Caitlin Clark gets so much attention because
that's true.
She dropped 41 points on Nebraska in the semifinal. And Monica Sinano had 22 in that game, but, you know, neither here nor there.
Pedestrian.
Neither here nor there. So I think Caitlin was getting so much attention.
Yeah.
And she was getting not double teamed necessarily, but trapped. And they were sending a lot of help her way that the player one pass away would then get the ball down inside. So I'm wondering I don't know if anyone keeps track of hockey assists. Like I call them hockey assists because in hockey you get an assist for that. If you pass to the pass that is an assist. Yeah. And we should do that in basketball too, but
we should do that.
If someone's keeping track of the secondary assist or the hockey assist, I bet you Caitlin Clark had a ton. She also, they work so well together. I mean, when they get the empty side, I remember one play, Monica Sano, she got fronted. Well, it was really good defense, actually. I mean, Holmes was on her back and Holmes was on her front once the ball kind of moved to a position where mm-hmm. it was going to be a really tough pass. And then, you know, Susanna put her hand up and the ball was there from Caitlin Clark. You know, it was just one of those passes where it's like she just kind of turned and had an inch and the ball was right there to turn and score. And it was really easy for her. And I think, you know, Clark really sets up everything they do, but mm-hmm. the Hawkeyes are a good team around those two. It's not just those two stars. I mean, shouts to Kate Martin. She had some huge plays down the stretch, 14 points in the championship game. And McKenna Warnock, as we talked about throughout the season, she unlocks a lot of what they do. So, I mean, I don't know. Where how far do you think this Iowa team can go? Like,
oh man,
realistically, how far could
this realistically? I mean, obviously, see, my voice is still bad. All those games, honey, all those games. I do have some tea. But anyway, I think for Iowa, number one thing, you got to stay healthy.
Yes.
Number two thing, I think that they have improved as a defensive team from last year's team, although they still have a lot of the same player. They have the entire starting five back. So let's not get that twisted. Tomei Taiwo off the bench has been really impactful for them. But I think, I mean, the glue player and Lisa Bluter, the head coach for Iowa, has said it all year long. And the entire time that Kate Martin has been, hold on one second, Dewey is like chewing something.
I was wondering what was happening. Dewey,
get off of that, Dewey. Hold on. I have to child-proof something for Dewey. He's fine now. He was chewing something he shouldn't have been. Anyway, I'm fine.
Well, he's a cat.
He's a silly one. But with Lisa Bluter, she's always said that Kate Martin has been the glue for the team. And, you know, what she does is sometimes immeasurable. But, you know, with those 14 points, like you said, I think it's just the grit that she brings to the table. I know there was one possession. I mean, we were sitting right there. So there was one possession. Somebody hit the ball out and she saw it and it was like a bang bang play and she was like that way, like she was just so demonstrative with her passion for the game, and her competitive spirit was on an all-time high. So I mean, without her they don't win, right? I think without her on the floor they don't win. And it's just all the little things, like getting her butt on the floor to get a loose ball, like setting up plays, and just, you know, when I say setting up plays, I mean like setting great screens, right? And getting in for the offensive glass, like all of her things are, you know, all of her stuff is through the mud, Kate Martin. And she's just an amazing talent. And Warnock is an X factor. We know that. We've been saying that. But, you know, the key pieces, obviously, are the bookends. And that's, you know, the law firm, you know, Caitlin Clark and Monica Sonano. And those two, I think, if they all stay healthy, I think they can make a solid run to the Elite Eight. And if not the Final Four, I think their ability to score the ball is unmatched, really. When they're at their best, and we've seen them, I mean, they put up 104 points against Michigan at the end of the season. Oof. It was 104-80, 104. So, I mean, good luck stopping that when they're on full force and have the ability to score over 100 points.
I'm going to look up where Charlie Cream has them, because they're going to need a little bit of help. You know, because it really, what it's going to be predicated on is the attention that teams have to pay to Caitlin Clark. If they have to send two, you know, if they have to really restructure the defense, a team, let's say, you know, let's just use an example, like Kentucky, Ryan Howard, and we could play straight up against Caitlin Clark as much as anyone else can in the nation, right? Sure. So they're not going to have to switch up as much in theory. So it'll depend.
Right.
On their matchups, but I'm with you. I see an Elite Eight team here. And let's see. So they're currently the 3 seed in Bridgeport. So they would have to play Southern Illinois, the winner of Ole Miss, Washington State. Well, this seems pretty good. I would say they breaks pretty good for Iowa in that case. Then they would have to go and play, a little team named UConn. I don't know if you've heard of them, Connecticut.
Well, a little bit. I've heard of them a little bit.
Hey, if we get another year of UConn Iowa in the tournament, because last year was electric. Right. The game didn't quite live up to the hype, but it was still a really, really good game between UConn and Iowa last year. So I would love to see that again. I don't think that's like the best matchup. Actually, maybe. I don't know. It's March. Anything can happen, but it does seem like they have a good chance to get out to the second weekend of the tournament, and that'd be huge for Iowa to get again to the Sweet 16. And we'll see who their 2 seed is, if they're really going to be a 3 seed, because there's some better matchups for them than UConn. Yeah. You know, I'm really, really excited to see where everyone gets placed
I know.
Really,
it's like I can't wait for that. I know, with a team like, we're sticking with the Big Ten, right? So yeah. I think with a team like Maryland and Michigan, both teams lost on Friday. Mm-hmm. And those are top 10 teams or mm-hmm. top 15 teams. The Big Ten has five teams in the net top 25, right? Yeah. Six teams in the top 35. My thing is, how many teams get in for the Big Ten? Mm-hmm. I'm saying eight, and I'm going heavy because of who they have to play. I mean, strength of schedule, I think Maryland's at a six in terms of their strength of schedule. Yeah. So I think that holds some weight. I think it'll just be interesting, not only where teams go, but what seeding they get and how many teams from the Big Ten go. How many do you think will go from the Big Ten?
All right, so here's what I got. I made like a whole spreadsheet. This is at like,
look at you.
This is at like mid 1 a.m. after the ACC tournament quarterfinals. So maybe this is after the Miami game. I just couldn't sleep, between the band noise. Yeah. Between the band noise, like overstimulating me, and then obviously Miami going on the run of the century for the University of Miami basketball program. I just did this. So bear with me if it's not wrong. So I have five locks. No, I'm going to put six locks. I think Nebraska is a lock. Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, Maryland, Indiana, Nebraska, I think are all in. I mean, Nebraska's 23rd in net. I think they're a lock. Nebraska has to be a lock. So Nebraska's in. Then the two teams I have on the bubble are Northwestern and Michigan State.
Yeah.
I'd say Michigan State is probably out.
Okay.
Which is tough because they're just 70th net. And they have a losing record in conference. And I know it might seem a little silly, right, to just say, hey, they have a losing record in conference, they're out, because it's a really tough conference. But it is tough to say that. And they didn't really have a long tournament stay. If they had scored one upset or looked particularly good against Ohio State, then we may talk about a different story. But with 70th in net rating, I'm not sure they have a good chance. Northwestern 64th in net rating. They could be in. Right now they're on the first team out, according to Charlie Cream. That's going to be really tough. They're just staunchly on the bubble.
Right.
I would want to see them in, I think, because they're a fun team to watch in March, because you got to prepare so much for that Blizzard defense. They played Iowa decently tough, but the final score was a 13-point game. So
yeah,
the committee may not look so kindly on that. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's where we're going to have to be looking at their quadrant one and quadrant two wins and all that. It gets super complicated at some point.
There are going to be some people that are upset. We were talking about that before we started, Gabe. There are going to be some upset people because the criteria is going to be crazy, especially this season with, COVID, with injuries, with games played, not played. I wouldn't want to be on that committee just because of all the different factors that you have to go with. And I think every team, if you go down the list, like the top 25, for instance, every team has had a key injury.
Mm-hmm.
Every single team, whether it's a starter or a key player off the bench, every player, Green for Tennessee, and then Masonis for Maryland, like you've had injuries down the line, right? And then COVID, like how many games did you get in? Did you get enough games in? Because some teams still this year didn't get enough games in. Or you didn't play a head-to-head with a team you had scheduled and you never made that game up. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to see if that criteria for the NCAA committee holds true for all teams. And I know it will. But I still think, every year there's a list of snubs. But I think there's going to be a longer list of snubs this year because it's going to be so hard to factor in all that stuff.
And we're not even done yet. That's a crazy part. We're not done with the AQ. So we're not done with the automatic qualifier. So, mm-hmm. For example, Dayton loses in the A-10 tournament. Well, now Dayton's probably getting in. Dayton's 44th in net rating. If we're comparing them to a team like Northwestern, they have as many wins in the quadrant one. Quadrant one basically means the games against the top teams in the country. And there's some other definitions, like it goes down to like, if you're on the road, that's a top 75. Mm-hmm. If you're at home, it's top 30. If you're on a neutral site, it's top 50. Well, I'm not going to get into all that. But they're they're good wins, basically. They have as many good wins as Northwestern does. So right. A team like that loses in the A-10 semifinal. Well, guess what? They're probably still in. So that takes one team off the bubble.
Right.
So we're not close to done. The A-Sun could be a problem if FGCU goes down. I think Jacksonville State made it to the finals. They beat Liberty on a buzzer beater last night. So
crazy.
It was a crazy game. A really interesting play design actually on that little, it was simple, but it was a really cool play design for Jacksonville State. But Liberty was also in the bubble. I'm taking Liberty off the bubble now, but now it's like if Jacksonville State wins that conference, stay son,
right.
FGCU.
What do you do?
You got to keep FGCU and they're 39th in that rating. They have one of the best players in the country, right? So it's like, we're not done. We're not quite done at the moment of figuring out who's actually on the bubble. I mean, yeah. I said I have about 22 bubble teams and I have about 27 locks to make it. And there's 13, so I had about 58 spots, obviously one of those are going to be taken up by the Big Ten champion. There's a couple other champions that I have on my list of locked teams. So we're not quite done in figuring out what's going to happen on the bubble. And yeah, I'm with you. It is not an enviable position to be picking this year.
No.
But I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I do think definitely the team from Nebraska up for the Big Ten has to be in. Northwestern has a decent case. Has a decent case. I think Michigan State's out. So we're talking six teams, maybe seven for the Big Ten is the end answer to your question.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really intriguing, as I said, just to see what they balance and measure when it comes to putting teams on the line for the mm-hmm. bracket. It's going to be fun to watch that. And I'll be over at Maryland for the reveal, but they're having a big thing with their fans and boosters and everything like that. And it'll be on Big Ten Network as snippets of that. So that'll be fun to see, because I know I was there that year, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when Maryland had like two or three losses mm-hmm. and ended up, and they thought they were getting a 2 seed and ended up with a 3 seed.
Oof.
And everybody was like, wow, like how does that happen? So they knew they were going to the tournament, right?
Yeah.
But then there was like the punch in the gut of a 3 seed that year. So, I'll be there for all the emotion and reactions to where they get placed. But I think Maryland may get a 5 seed. That's what I've heard and read and kind of seen. But it'll be interesting where Indiana gets placed as well. And Michigan, those three teams, I'm really interested in seeing where they will go.
Yeah, with Maryland. So Maryland got a little bit of help though. So Maryland right now is, I think, Megan Gower had Maryland in her top 16, which came out on Monday. Right. Charlie Cream has them as a top 16 seed as well. So they would be hosting games right now if the ESPN bracketology came to fruition. I mean, they didn't have a bad showing at the tournament. They just only played one game, and a team that went on to the championship and a team that I would say the voters seem to really respect. And I would be, let me see where Indiana is. I would say Indiana's probably, they have them at a 4 seed. It could be a 3 seed, but the thing is with Maryland is a lot of the teams on the 5 line, BYU, they didn't win their conference championship. Notre Dame lost to Miami. Virginia Tech got hurt in the ACC tournament, did go as far and didn't play as well as people expected because of those injuries. So you're looking across and it's like, who's going to replace Maryland? Now we still have the Big 12 tournament. So things could change, there's plenty of good teams there that could overtake Maryland as a 4 seed, but I think there's a good chance that Maryland hosts games selfishly. That's what I want for us.
That's what I want too. I want that too.
So we could go to the basketball games.
Get down the street. It's just right down the street for us. Yeah.
But
great teams.
I think they should be in there. I mean, they're 14th in net. The stats love them. They got hurt. What's your feeling though on where this team is? Because we had a lot of conversations about Maryland.
Yeah.
And just where they are as a team. And there's a lot of injuries that factor into this, but you know, now we can't really care about the injuries, right? We have to just kind of say like, hey, it's time to show up. So what's your read on where this team's at?
I mean, and watching them in that Indiana game, it's just clearly not smooth offensively. And there were some shots where I was like, wow, what was that? What happened? Mm-hmm. What were you looking for in that particular play? You know, and the way that Indiana defended them was perfect as well. They gave them the shots they wanted them to take, rather than the shots Maryland wanted to take, if that makes sense.
Nope.
Like, we're going to give, just for instance, I know there was a play, I believe it was in the first half, where Angel Reese was wide open at the three. Mm-hmm. And she looked around, nobody was there, and she shot it, because Indiana was like, shoot it.
Yeah.
And she missed it, right? And for me, that was a clear example of Indiana dictating in that game. Mm-hmm. And you have to be disciplined in those moments. And not to say Angel Reese hasn't made a three, I think she has. So it's like,
yeah.
But they went with percentages. They went with percentages. And, you know, I think right after that shot, Brenda Freeze took Angel Reese out, you know, because it's about discipline. Like, you can't fall into, which she should have. Okay. To be clear.
No.
Okay. Which she should have taken her out, which is a great decision. And, you know, you pulled that shot, and I need to pull you out of the game just for right now. And it's about discipline in the postseason. If teams are giving you what they want you to have, then that's not good for you, right? You have to be the one dictating on offense and defense, right? Put pressure on them. If they're giving you that shot, drive it to the rim. That's mm-hmm. her forte. Take them to the rack. So it was just situations like that where Indiana totally dictated what they wanted Maryland to do. And I don't think that Ashley Owusu was anywhere near herself. You know, first team last year, I believe, in conference, second team this year. And I know she's been injured and trying to make her way back. So, you know, no shade, just an observation, you know, I just don't think that she was 100% with her decision-making or with her conditioning or with her shot-making ability.
Yeah.
And they needed that. They needed those three things from her in that game against Indiana, and give Indiana credit again for applying that pressure, knowing that she wasn't 100%. Diamond Miller, I believe, only had 4 points in that game.
Yeah.
And she needed to come alive too. And they just didn't have that compliment. And that's where you miss a player like Faith Misonis, is what we were saying earlier. I mean, she had the ACL injury, although she was off crutches in Indy, which is good to see. She's on track ahead of schedule, she said to me. So, I mean, but you're missing like another player who can score. I mean, Mimi Collins wasn't hitting. Chloe Bibby wasn't hitting. Like, somebody's got to be consistent. And they were missing that.
No, I agree. And, you know, to your point about Angel Reese, you're open for a reason. You know, you got to think about that. If you're wide open, it's happening for a reason. You should think about the shot you're taking. She is 1-for-10 on threes this season.
1-for-10.
So, yeah. Also, you know, this is just an aside note. I was listening to, the Basketball Immersion podcast with Bryant's men's head coach. And he was like, and let me know if you ever did something like this. He has a shooting test every Monday. So you have to, I forget what the exact drill was, but it's like a high intensity, you know, you have to make X amount of shots and whatever. Okay. And if you don't pass it, you can't shoot a three that week.
Oh, okay. You know what? Send me that, please, for my high school team, because
I will. Cause you know, I thought it was super interesting. That test. Because he was like, Claire's would come up to me and be like, coach, I need to be able to shoot. He's like, just make your shots. Dude, if you make the shots. So I was just wondering if that's something that is happening to Angel Reese, because I think she was, you know, she is kind of the, she's supposed to be a wing in a center's body to a certain extent. So I wonder if she's just like not making those threes in practice, and that's why she can't take them in the game, because she's only taken 10. Don't in conference tournament time is not the time to be experimenting from the 3-point line. But But to your point about
which is why she came out of the game. But go ahead.
I would love to. Maybe I'll ask Brenda Freeze about that when we get a chance. To your point about Ashley Owusu, yeah, she wasn't 100%. She just didn't have the lift. I mean, she had 21 points, a heck of a game for being somewhat hobbled. But she didn't have the lift. She just doesn't seem comfortable on her feet yet. Right? Like she just doesn't have those little like boom boom moves that we saw so early in the season. She didn't have just that change of direction, this very slight change of direction that she does better than anyone else in the country. I didn't think that was there, right?
No, it wasn't there. And I wanted so desperately to call out and woo-woo, but I couldn't. She didn't have any woo-woo moments. She did have 21, like you said, and they were solid. But when you know what you've seen from her before, like statistics aside, and, I think it's rhythm-based and performance-based. Yeah. And I know performance is kind of statistical, but I think when you know that when she has that bounce and, like you said, the change of direction and the quickness that was missing, that pop in her step was missing. It was missing. But I love, this is no shade. We're just watching and observing and telling you our opinions. So this is in no way like etched in stone, but that's just, I know she's tighter with her game than what she displayed in that one game in the Big Ten tournament.
We have high expectations. We and everyone else truly should have high expectations for this Maryland team. You look at the collection of talent and they face injuries all year, but it is a national title team. There is a national title team there. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll get there this year because there's been just so much adversity and just like you can only go through so much and come out and remain that team that your talent suggests that you are. Any team in the country, I don't care. And Maryland may have a claim to be one of the teams that's faced the most adversity in the country this season. That being said, I mean, there are little things that they could do better. I think getting Katie Benson needs more than 5 shots. She can't finish again with 0 points. That to me is, I haven't super dug into the tape on why that happened. I haven't really been watch her specifically, but I'm guessing in the end, I just kind of took it away, but they have to find ways to get her open. Whether that's on staggers, whether that's, pinned down, whatever you need to do to get her some shots, get her some more shots. I also think Diamond Miller, she needs to be more efficient. 2 of 11 is not going to cut it. Same with Chloe Bibby. No. Diamond is, one of the top 3 players on this team. At times has been the best player on this team. You need more from her. You need more from her. And I think if there's a team that's going to surprise us and make a Final Four run from that 4 line or that 5 line or wherever Maryland is, I think it could be Maryland. I mean, because who has... There's not many teams in this country that have as much talent as Maryland.
No, and I completely agree with that. And it just all has to come together at the right time for them. I know it was extremely disappointing for them to go out that early after winning 5 of the last 7 Big Ten tournament titles. And they've been in the conference for 7 years. So this is the first time that they haven't competed for a championship. They've always been to the championship game, except for this year. So I know that there's a lot of pride on the line with them in that regard. And yes, they possess the tools to get to the Final Four and beyond. And, you look back to how hard they played South Carolina and how Brenda Fries after that game said, we're right there. We're this close. So I think for that kind of display of basketball, if they had played that way, like they played against South Carolina, against Indiana, all bets off. Right. I think that would have been a different story. But they just were not the same team in terms of their effectiveness offensively and their cohesion on the defensive end. But when you look back to that game, they can do it. So to your point, they are able to play that way, but they just need to be consistent with their abilities because we know they have it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we're asking them to do something or we're not expecting them to do something that they're not capable of doing. We've seen it.
Yes.
Right. So you just have to bring that right to the NCAA tournament and make that strong run.
Then they have this week, so to a certain extent for some teams, your Miami's, your Kentucky's, your teams that made runs in the tournament that are feeling hot. Though yeah. I think the week off is a bad thing. But for a lot of these teams, like Indiana, Maryland, the two teams we talked about here, is like this week off is really nice to just get your mind right, to get your body right. There's teams that went out early in their conference tournaments have a chance to reset and focus on it and feel that and then get ready to make a run in the tournament. So I hope Maryland can get right. And if Maryland can get right, like we said, there is nothing stopping them from being the best team. But I don't know. I wouldn't bet on Maryland getting to that level this year. I hope they do. But I just think it's just been so much adversity. I feel really bad. And we expect more. It's not just, I don't want to give them an excuse because they won't give themselves an excuse. So, but it's just tough. Let's talk about the other three teams. You know, we talked about Iowa, we talked about Indiana, we talked about Maryland. Let's talk about Michigan really quick. Where do you see this team in the grand scheme of the tournament in terms of just like how far they can go? They're 16th in net rating. If you want some stats, they have Naz Hillman, you know, at times they've been the top five team. And then they also just have some, you know, bad losses, right? They lost to, who'd they lose to in this tournament?
In the tournament, they lost to Nebraska.
Another team we got to talk about. So what's your sense of Michigan and where do you see them in the grand scheme of things?
Man, I love this Michigan team. First of all, Kim Barnes-Zarico, we both have three kids, so we have a really good bond. We talk about it all the time. But I think with Kim Barnes-Zarico receiving Coach of the Year, I think that kind of tells you what this team was able to do all season long. They are another team that has the capability of being a strong force in the NCAA tournament and making a run to the Final Four, Elite Eight, Final Four. You know, those are the areas that you kind of picture them in because of what they have on the floor. And I think last year, what you saw when they made that run to the Sweet 16 was team play. And yes, Naz Hillman is incredible. She's one of the top 10 for the Naismith Player of the Year this year. So, I mean, that is already a given with what she is able to do. But I think the beauty of the Michigan team is their depth this season. I think Layla Filia, the freshman, who has come in and just every single game just evolved and developed into this monster. And her confidence is continuing to elevate. Naz Hillman is in her ear during games, and I love it. It's a beautiful thing to watch. But I think for Michigan, it's Leah Brown, who I think has made a big difference for them. I mean, she was out with injury. We're talking about how injuries have impacted teams. She was out for 3 weeks with an ankle injury, and they lost that good juju. They lost that good momentum when she went out because now teams can kind of load up on Naz Hillman. You know, if Maddie Nolan isn't hitting her threes, which she does at a 45% clip, by the way, she can shoot the flat. Yeah. She can shoot the air out of the ball. Okay. But if she's not hitting, right, they had a hard time finding another third or fourth player who can score in double figures without Leah Brown on the floor. And she's lanky. She's a defensive disruptor. So not only are you missing her near 20 points a game in Leah Brown, but you're also missing her defense and her rebounding and her ability to spread the floor. Even if she's not shooting the ball, she spreads the floor so they can't load up on Naz Hillman, right? So in her absence, it kind of changed everything in terms of game planning against them. So for me, it was in that game against Nebraska where Leah Brown transferred from, by the way. Yeah. You know, a lot of different dynamics. I just think that it was disappointing, especially the way that they lost. They had 4.4 seconds. They inbounded the ball. Leah Brown inbounded the ball to Emily Kaiser. Kaiser pulled and shot this three from, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet behind the line. They're down three, right?
Yeah.
Needed a three, but Leah Brown was the trigger from out of bounds. So it's like, and she was standing there like this to get it back, right? So I think it was just the execution down the stretch. And they turned it over to, Alexis Markowski underneath the basket on the play right before that. So it came down to executing at the end of games. And I know they're able to do that. And I know it was that I know sat with Kim Barnes-Zarico, probably still sitting with her in a stinging way, just because that wasn't the play. I mean, that couldn't have been the play for Kaiser to pull that. And it was just lack of focus at that juncture. And when you're in a situation like that, in a tournament, it you know, that's going to always be what you think about when you think about postseason play. When that calendar clicks to March, you're going to think about, man, we kind of messed that up at the end.
One, they, you know, they're playing a good team. Nebraska's really good.
Yeah, I mean, flat out tough. Yeah.
So it's like you look at the stat line, and I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about, but you know, Michigan 3 of 12 from the 3-point line, Nebraska 8 of 17 from the 3-point line. That's the difference. Yeah. There is your difference in the game. And it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. The thing with Michigan is they're not going to get upset. It's March, folks. Anything could happen. They're a team, though, that I think has the opposite problem of Maryland. Like, Maryland has this super high ceiling that they could make it to the Final Four, but Maryland could also lose in the first round. Make no mistake about it. Like, it's a very high ceiling, low floor team because of everything that's happened this year. I think Michigan is a higher floor, but perhaps a lower ceiling. So I think they'll probably make it out of their first two rounds. But then the Sweet 16, it'll be like, well, how are we going to find those buckets? You know, where are we going to get those easy threes from if teams are figuring out ways to both, you know, double and send help on Naz Hillman and take away our more limited three-point options? So what are we doing? How are we cutting the right way? Are we doing things? Are we game planning in the right way to give us a shot against the teams that are going to be, you know, better than us? Because you're in the tournament, you're probably going to have to beat someone who's better than you to win the championship.
Yeah.
For the most part, unless you're South Carolina. Well, even South Carolina will probably have to beat someone better than them. Actually, there's no one. That's a different conversation. Different conversation. But like Michigan, they're going to have to rise above and beat, you know, a 2 seed or a 1 seed or whoever to get to where they end up want to be. And I need to see more the game plan for it. It's tough to do in your conference tournament and the Big Ten tournament specifically, because you don't know. They didn't know who they were going to play. They didn't know if they were going to play Nebraska. I mean, they had a decent idea that they were going to play Nebraska, but you know, it is more difficult, I think, to do that in the conference tournament. So Ken Barnes-Rico will have a better chance to do it in the NCAA tournament, and we'll see what happens. I would peg them more as a Sweet 16 team than the Final Four potential team, but they're certainly, I think, a good bet to make to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about the defensive ability of teams in the postseason and how that really anchors you in terms of your progression through the tournament. And I think, you know, they have that. They're a really, really good defensive team. They're a great offensive rebounding team. Yes. And give credit to Naz Hillman in that area. But all of them crash and get extra possessions. But I think, you know, in that Baylor game earlier this season, they didn't have the services of Naz Hillman in the overtime, right? And then they ended up winning that game because they have players, they have depth, and they have players who stepped up like Leah Brown in that particular game in that overtime session to beat a really tough Baylor squad. So I think it's got to come from more than just Naz Hillman. As she alluded to last year, she was like, it's about this team, right? Yep. And it's got to be that same focus going into this postseason. Everybody's got to be a star in their role. Everybody's got to be at their best. And it's not just at your best making your shot. It's at your best with decisions, especially at the end of games. Mm-hmm. Let's lock in and focus. We just came out of this huddle. This is what we're looking for. You've got to stick with that. And I know for sure, I don't know everything about Ken Barnes-Rico, but I know that wasn't the play. Yeah. I know that. And if it was, Kim, my bad, but that was not the play for her to take that shot. So it's just those kinds of focus things need to, you know, they need to be on point. You got to be 1,000% ready to go and no excuses to be made. Like, oh, my bad. No, we're not doing my bad. We're not doing all my fault. No, we're not doing sorry. You heard what you needed to do. Go do it so we can win or have the chance to win. Who knows if that shot, if she did kick to Leah Brown, who knows if she would have made it. But you live and die on, this is the plan. We're going to go with it. And that needs to go, right? You need to run that play.
You can live with it if you run the play and you lose. I feel like it's much tougher to like turn the ball over or not run the play or do something different. Okay, we're getting long in the tooth here for this podcast. I do want to talk about Nebraska. Nebraska, yeah. I think Nebraska has Cinderella potential. I'm telling you, folks. Nebraska, right? They shoot the ball. And if you can shoot the ball like Josh Shelley and Ashley Scoggin can, you got a chance. Those two take over 5 threes a game and make over 40% of them. Look, I don't care. I don't care. Honestly, I'm not sure I care about what else you do. And they're really good on the defensive glass. They play really strong defense. They are a tough team. But I don't really care about what else you do. If you can shoot the ball like that, you got a chance in March, because that's how it is, right? You just have two good games and suddenly you're in the Sweet 16. You have one more, you're in the Elite Eight. So that this is my, I think Nebraska might be my Cinderella pick. We'll have to see how we'll check the brackets when they come out on Sunday. But no, I really, really like Nebraska.
Yeah, no, I love them. They are so balanced. And while you're talking about that 3-point shooting prowess, listen, Alexis Markowski is a problem.
Yeah,
you hear me? She's the freshman of the year in the Big Ten, but she is a stop and pop machine. Like, she's not just a killer down in the paint. She has lift and efficiency from the 3-point line and pick and pop situations where she just rises back and knocks it in. So if you play the drive on that action, she's going to kill you. And I just think that she has this incredible motor about her. Yep. And Amy Williams has said, she just wants to win. Like, she came into my office, we were watching film. She was like, I don't care what you need from me. I just want to win. Like, I don't care. And so that's the attitude that she's bringing to the table. And it's just infectious, especially when you have a player like Jazz Shelley, who I love. And she has been, you know, she needs to be mentioned more, I think, in top guards in the Big Ten. I know that, you know, Veronica Burton too. Those two players, like, Veronica Burton's at Northwestern, and she doesn't get the you know, respect, I think, nationally, as she should. And the same with Jazz Shelley in that regard. I think Jazz Shelley is an incredible talent just across the board, not just with her ability to score threes, but she is so nonchalant and effortless with her playmaking ability that I marveled at that. Like, I'm looking at her and I'm like, is she sweating? Like, she's just like out there, like, whatever. And like making these just effortless passes. And I'm like, how did you even see that? Like, she has a survey gene about her that not a lot of people recognize. And if they do recognize it, they don't respect it enough. I mean, I think Amy Williams has a really great team, and they play hard. They fight for everything, and they never quit. So those are the teams in March that you have to, you know, you have to side eye, because those are the shark in the water teams that'll, you know, you don't hear them or see them, but you feel them when they bite you. And that's what they bring to the table for sure.
No, I agree. Jazz Shelley has like 66,000 followers on TikTok. That's neither here nor there. Wow. I just saw that yesterday. I was like, wow, that's a lot.
Wait, is she doing like dances, or is she doing cooking, or
I saw her basketball. She posted a video about her basketball. So I mean, my TikTok feed is specifically tailored for basketball. So maybe that's all I got. I don't know. I just thought I found it interesting. Good. Nebraska getting a huge TikTok star. All right, one last team I think we need to bring up, and then obviously we have to talk about the Canes. I've gone most of this podcast without talking about the Canes.
That's okay.
But I want to talk about Ohio State. I think they're almost super Nebraska in the way I was talking about Nebraska. Like, they also can threes. They're 7th in 3-point percentage. Let me see the volume. I forget. I just thought, they're 23rd in 3-pointers made. So they take a high volume and make a lot of them. They also play really great defense. They were co-regular season conference champions. I don't know why. I just haven't been watching them as much. I just don't have the same feeling. Like, I don't have that same feeling. I mean, I know Taylor Mikesell's been awesome, and J.C. Sullivan has also been awesome. And Braxton Miller, the player whose name always like freaks me out because she's from the same town as the football Braxton Miller. But like, I don't, where do you see Ohio State in the grand scheme of things?
I mean, their ability to grit out games, I think, to me has been impressive. I think their 2-2-1 full court pressure has been wreaking havoc across the conference all season long. And I think that's why they shared that regular season conference championship with Iowa this year. Obviously their ability to knock in threes and, you know, Taylor Mikesell leading the country in that regard, I think 46% from there or 47. I mean, insane, right? And you know that she's going to do that. And you know you're bringing that defensive attention to her and she's still able to do that. So when that is occurring, you have to give full on respect. But she makes just under 4 threes a game, which is insane. Yeah. With defensive attention, like to take it away, and it's not being taken away. So good luck with that. So J.C. Sheldon, to me, I mean, I know they don't really give a most improved award in the conference.
They don't?
But I would say, do they?
I mean, no, they did it for the ACC, but only the coaches voted on it.
Oh, maybe they did it for the coaches only. Didn't get to vote on most improved.
I didn't see.
But if there was a most,
what'd you say? I didn't see the Big Ten most improved. So it may or may not exist. If someone knows that, please let us know.
Yeah, I need to know that because I know I'm a media voter, and I didn't see that for players. But if coaches have that, I just think, you know, when you have a player who has to jump in because of the injury to Madison Green, who was everything to them in terms of distributing and organizing the offense, she came in seamlessly and like rocked it this year. I mean, first team all conference for J.C. Sheldon this year. And I think, you know, if there is a most improved, I've definitely given her the crown for that. But I think with Beecham's ability to come off the bench and be impactful with her mid-range game, her ability to defend in the paint and finish in the paint, that has been an X factor for them. And I just think when you have players who grit and grind it out, I mean, I think it makes a big difference in what you do defensively. And I think Kevin McGuff will agree with that as well. I mean, he said it's our defense, you know, and we have to be able to make shots to get into that, you know, so they can apply that level of pressure. With Sheldon and Mikesell at the top of it, harassing. But I think, you know, as the NCAA tournament proceeds, I think they need to, you know, stick with that, obviously, but they got to be able to make shots to be able to pressure and do a great job with that. So I think that's going to be something to look for them, for sure.
Yep. Good. I'm excited. Although I just saw the bracket and they are in the sixth line in Tennessee's home region, and Tennessee's a beatable team. But they play Missouri State, and Missouri State is really, really good. So that is not the matchup I would want if I was Ohio State. So we will see where they end up in the bracket. And sorry to Northwestern. We're going to move on because there's other things to talk about. We love you, Veronica Burton, very, very much.
And Joe.
And everyone in the Northwestern program, they are very nice to her hoop stats. We will see you guys hopefully in the tournament. And if you're there, we will definitely talk about you. Shout to my girl, Nia Clouden at Michigan State. If she is good in the WNBA, I promise you, I will be wearing that shirt and I will never, shut up about it. Okay. I just want to let everyone know if she makes the day she makes an all-star team in the WNBA, I will never, ever shut up about it. also, shouts to Purdue, Minnesota, Penn State, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Illinois. Thanks for playing. We will see you guys next year. We'll see you guys next year. All right. Let's talk about a few more things now before we move on. And head on to Selection Sunday, which is this Sunday. It's no longer Selection Sunday, it's just this Sunday. So we're gonna get we have to talk about let's talk about Miami. It's been too long. Miami, I just put a video out on our YouTube channel, which I hope you're watching this on our YouTube channel, and it's probably a related video somewhere. Miami pulls off one of the greatest upsets I've ever seen. Destiny Harden goes on her own 15-0 run in the last 4 minutes of the game to beat Louisville. I've never seen something like that. I asked Beth Moens if she saw something like that. I asked Debbie Antonelli if she saw something like that. I asked pretty much everyone I get my hands on at the tournament if they had seen something like that, and everyone's like, no, we've never seen something like that. I've relived it and I've had a lot of thoughts on it. Did you ingest that at all? Were they talking about the Big Ten tournament?
Yes, all the upsets that were occurring, absolutely. I think with Miami, I was like, man, I know Gabe is like losing his collective mind right now because I knew you were down there.
I was trying so hard to like be calm, because I'm not a calm person. Anyone who knows me, I'm not calm. I'm not a calm. That's not something. I was trying so hard to be like professional, and everyone else around me was freaking out. And so like there was an NC State, Ernie, I forgot his last name. He does radio in the Raleigh area. So he was there for NC State, and he was like fist pumping and yelling because he didn't want to play Louisville. So he was going crazy. And I'm sitting there like, I have to be calm. I have to be calm. But then, you know, as soon as he hit the shot, I was like, ah,
right. Insane.
Crazy game for Miami. Absolutely wonderful. My question is, do you think Louisville is still a one seed? Because they're on the one line still, according to ESPN's bracketology. Megan Gower also has them as a one seed. But I could see, like, I mean, Baylor really is the team that could overtake them if they win the Big 12 in convincing fashion.
That's a tough question. And you know, all questions from you to me are tough. But that one is super tough.
It's a tough question, yes.
That is. And, you know, and you could say the same for South Carolina with Kentucky upsetting them in the championship game on the buzzer beater. So,
we'll get to that.
And I think, you know, you have to look at the full body of work.
Yeah.
And no shade to Miami, but Louisville was not supposed to lose, you know? And I know that kind of changes the dynamic for many things in terms of seeding and decisions in the NCAA tournament bracket. Do they still get a one seed? I think no.
Okay.
I think no. I think that loss puts them on the two line. And not to say they won't get to the Final Four, they could still get there. Trust and believe, especially with, you know, have something in their craw. You know, they're upset about losing. So now
that's what Katie Meyer said after the game. She was like, I think this is going to push them to the Final Four now because they're going to be mad about that. But
there we go. See me and Katie. See you and Katie. I just think that it's bumped them to two. It's bumped them to the two line.
I think Baylor has a bit of work. Baylor has a bit of work to do they have to win the title, I think, in the Big 12. They have to beat Oklahoma too. They have to show that they can beat Oklahoma, a team that swept them. I think M. Adler, I forget, it was M or Mitch on our podcast on Tuesday brought that up. But I could see it. I mean, like, and you're pitching, it's easy to pitch Nelissa Smith and company as a number one seed. Like, it's just an awesome team to watch. So, it also makes the seeding, that was the other thing we brought up. It makes the seeding, like, placing teams a lot easier because then South Carolina goes to Greensboro, NC State goes to Bridgeport, Baylor goes to Wichita, and Stanford stays in Spokane. So it makes a lot more sense from that perspective. I think they could do it. I mean, look, there's a case that UConn should be a one seed. I don't know how I feel about that, but there's definitely a case that UConn should be a one seed. They're fourth in that rating. They have a really good Q. They have the same Q1 record and only one more Q2 loss than Louisville, and they won their conference tournament and didn't get bounced in the first round. I would say Baylor probably has an inside track, but we'll see. More shenanigans have happened in the past with with UConn, so they could sneak into that one line. But I don't know. I'd still put Louisville there if Louisville wasn't one seed coming in.
Right.
That Miami game, you could play it 100 times and it would literally happen less than once. There was a 99.9% chance that Louisville wins that game. So
yeah.
I don't know how much you want to take from it, but it was certainly it wasn't a fluke, I would say, because Miami did end up beating Notre Dame, another really good team, but it was weird. So I'm not sure how much we can take from it. So I won't knock down Louisville too much. I think it pushes up Miami more just because of the grit and the heart that they showed.
Agreed. I had Miami in my top 25 because of their run in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. I put them at 25
because how do you not? I mean, they beat a top five team. They beat a top three team in the country and then beat a top 20 team in Notre Dame. I mean, back-to-back days. Come on.
I'm not sure.
You got to give credit where credit is due. And I don't care what people say on Twitter or whatever like that. They're always like, well, what about our team? They didn't make it and you didn't vote for our team. Listen, like what you just said, Gabe, grit and heart at this point in the season, I measure that heavily. And I think with Katie Meyer and what she's been able to do, I mean, this is 17 years that she's been there. And God, that was her first time getting to the conference title game in the tournament. Come on. I mean, there was magic that week. There was magic that week for the Hurricanes.
And this isn't her. This is not her most talented team. This is not the most talented team that she's had. This isn't even, this isn't close to the most talented team she's ever had. This is just a team that, I don't know, they really believe. We've talked about them all year. Like, they come into every game. Yeah. Not scared and ready to play defense. It's just more of a question of whether shots fall. Are we hitting our spots right? Like, are we doing? So I look, Miami, I said this on our last podcast. They could either win, they could lose in the first round, or they could make it to the Sweet 16. Like, it's just one of those teams. Currently ESPN has them in Greensboro as the 9 seed on South Carolina's one line, which I would not like. If Louisville is the top seed, you gotta put Miami on the 8 line of Louisville, because we gotta see the rematch. Yeah. Come on, committee.
Yeah. Give
me some entertainment. Give me some entertainment.
And some drama. That would be very dramatic.
It'd be great drama. Let's talk about South Carolina. Speaking of great drama. Great drama. We had the live reaction to that on the Tuesday podcast. What a game. What a run from Kentucky. You know, they have the best player in the country, and best senior in the country, I guess. Best senior in the country, and Ryan Howard. One of the best players in the country. And they had a team that just, it should have made sense all season, but it didn't. And now they've just decided to never miss a shot again. They're just not going to ever miss. And they win the SEC over what we were calling, you know, the death machine, the South Carolina Gamecocks. What? How? Who? Why? I have no explanation. I don't have any explanations here. It's March, folks. It's March. They've won 10 straight games, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think for Kentucky to do what they did in that game down the stretch there, we were talking about grit and heart. I mean, they were 500 in the SEC going into the tournament, to the SEC tournament. And for them to have that kind of focus, that's what we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to execute at the end of games. And I think it's on the Her Hoop Stats Instagram page, the diagram of that play.
Yeah.
By Kyra Elsley, who it was just perfectly explained in the huddle. And it was perfectly executed by the players. And that doesn't always happen, unfortunately. As a coach, I've seen it. But also as a player, I've seen it. Like, that's not what she said. Like, I'm supposed to be right here. And then the play breaks down somehow because one piece of the action is not focused. And it's a house of cards. So, I mean, I've seen it from both sides. So for them to come out of that huddle, and for them to take that diagram on the whiteboard and apply it in that moment to get that win and that title, it was beautiful.
It was stunning.
It was just great. Yeah, and
I was so happy for them. Because all season, I don't know, like, it just seemed like they were stuck in the mud and they didn't know how to play with each other. Maybe that's what's come together. Shooting has been unreal. In the last three games in the tournament, they shot 47%, 50%, and 42% from three.
Wow.
And then they
were
canning everything. I mean, look, some things happen in March that you'll need to explain. Now the other question that you had, and I think it's a fair question. Is South Carolina still the number one overall seed?
Yeah. I had asked you that earlier. So
let's want me to answer? I can.
I think we both said yes on that.
Right.
Did we both say yes on that? We both said yes.
It goes back to my thing with Maryland seeding and Louisville seeding. It's like the teams below them, like, you can't. They beat all the teams below them, right? So they beat NC State, they beat Stanford. Hey, maybe you could say that Stanford game was at home. Maybe you could say North Carolina State's been changed since that game was so early in the season. But I don't think you can take South Carolina off that number one, that you know, the pedestal that they were on after losing to you know, one of these teams that got super hot in March. I mean, it's still March. Yeah. Maybe I'm a little bit more concerned about them, but I don't know. I just can't do it. I can't see what I saw in the regular season and then see one game and decide, okay, suddenly they're not the number one team in the country. I just think they have to be. They have to be, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what happened when they lost to Missouri, you know, early. And it's like, well, they're the number one team. And then, you know, you have to do the voting that very next Monday. And it's like, they're still number one. So yeah. I think that kind of notion factors in. And again, I mean, late game execution or lack thereof. Okay. For South Carolina, I mean, Aaliyah Boston missed the chippy on the other side. Okay. And then come back down and you fall back on the line instead of hedging up in an action where they were baiting you to help off that stuff, the pick and roll off the handoff. They were baiting you in to help, took the bait. And then now you have a 3-point shot at the top, wide open. I mean, it was just a perfectly executed play by Kentucky, but, you know, defensively, I mean, I don't know what else you could have done to have Boston kind of stay attached to the 3-point line, the way they were shooting threes down the stretch, you know, but you want to protect the rim and she's a rim protector. So instinctively she's going to drop. She's going to help deep and just wasn't there in time to contest that last shot. So this is a tough way to go out of the tournament, especially thinking how they went out of the Final Four last year in the same kind of devastating way at the end of the game. You know, that stinks.
It's more concerning, I think, from that perspective than the game perspective. Because this is a few times now where they've been in that stage, they've been on that game and they couldn't finish. And obviously this team is capable of it. It's just doing it, right? Like, yeah, you have to do it in order for me to believe in it. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting when the brackets come out. Spoiler, I'm going to have South Carolina in my Final Four. Unless they play Miami in the second round, because I always have to have a bracket with Miami winning the national championship if they're in the tournament, period. Because you have to live with yourself somehow, and that's how I live myself. But South Carolina, I mean, they're going to be in my Final Four. It's just a matter of, like, when they get there, do I trust them to? You need a little bit more of, like, freelancing, I think. I don't know what it is. I think maybe they're just so good that they have been tested, though. I don't know what to say.
They have been tested. I mean, they've beaten 11 ranked teams. I mean, they've gone on quite the run. But again, I mean, with what we were saying about Louisville now being extra hungry going into the tournament, I think you can say the same thing for South Carolina. And that, my friend, is scary.
Yes.
Like, to be more hungry. Okay. Destiny Henderson, more hungry. Aaliyah Boston, more hungry. Bria Beal. I mean, that's, and Dawn Staley. I mean, let's not forget. So she's going to have them ready to go, especially how last season ended, especially now how the SEC tournament has ended. Just one loss going into that tournament. And then for them not to get the title is frustrating, I'm sure.
No,
but fueling, frustratingly fueling for that group.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be, we're going to see a team like just killing people in the first two or three rounds of this tournament, possibly until the, we'll see. Yeah, actually, I mean, if this bracket comes to fruition, ESPN's bracketology, I don't see a single team that can test them before the Final Four, outside of Miami, of course. Miami's going to test them in terms of just grit and toughness. Miami doesn't have the talent to pull off that upset, but I don't know. South Carolina, it's a little odd. I'm going to take my grain of salt, though. I'm going to take it with, I'm focusing on the grain of salt part of this rather than the potential concern of it. Right. I think that's the right way. I think that's the right way to approach it. Okay, I mean, like, that's all I got. Next week, we're going to be picking brackets. But anything else you want to get to before we're in March Madness in earnest?
No, hey, I just wish the best for everybody. I know for me, and it's been years, right? But yep. For me personally, Gabe, it, whenever that calendar flips to March, all the memories rush in, good, bad, ugly, otherwise. Mm-hmm. But man, it's just a great time of your life. And it's something that will stick with you forever. You understand me? So for all the coaches, all the players, all the support staff, all the administrators and everything like that, ride the wave and just enjoy the moment that you have the opportunity to compete at this epic level. 68 teams now in this season, so a lot more opportunity for extra teams to experience this, but it's just a thrill. And when you love the game, which I know everybody out there does, it's an amazing opportunity to show all your hard work and those empty gyms in the summer, getting those extra reps. It just shows what that's all about. So I can't wait. The madness of March is here, and we're right in the thick of it, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's also a chance to prove how dumb you are, as I do every single year, picking this bracket. I just always am wrong, no matter what. So we'll pick brackets. Okay. We did this last year. That was super fun. So we'll pick brackets, and we have, when's the actual game here? So it's the 16th. So what day is that?
I don't even know. I believe it's Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yes. That would be on Wednesday. Wednesday is the first round. We have the first, that's the first four. So Wednesday, nice. Thursday is the first four. And we got the tournament, baby. It'll be on the 18th, yeah. 19th, Friday, Saturday.
Ooh! It's on and cracking. I love it. Maybe we'll be in College Park.
Maybe we'll be in College Park. We'll see.
Then I can give you your t-shirt if it's in College Park.
We gotta do something in person regardless, though, for the tournament. Yeah, we have to just get together and do something in person.
We absolutely do. And speaking of getting together, before we get off of here, yeah. I just want to send thoughts and prayers to Brittany Griner, yeah. and her family and the Phoenix Mercury family. And we're just praying for the best for BG. It's just really scary. Without getting into it, we already know what it is. So mm-hmm. we're just hoping that she gets back safe, right, Gabe?
Yeah, no, that's 100. I mean, I didn't want to, we didn't talk about it before because that's what the family wishes, and I think it's the right exactly. thing to do. So we haven't really focused in on it, but she's obviously at the forefront of our minds, like every morning when we Absolutely. Wake up. So I'm just hoping that Absolutely. everything gets resolved in a quick, easy manner, and BG yeah. can get home safely.
Absolutely.
So that's definitely on our mind. We're trying to do the right thing here. So absolutely. Well, hopefully. I hear you. Hopefully next time we talk, we'll have more information, yeah. good information to share yeah. with everyone, Absolutely. But we'll have Absolutely. The tournament. We have so much going on. I'm just pumped. I'm pumped for Me where too. We are in college basketball. I'm going to be watching Makes so sense. Much tape now. I'm just going to be yeah. in a hole watching game tape for the next week and a half.
Fun stuff. Yeah. yeah. And we don't have to go home, but we got to get out of here to go watch some March Madness games. Yeah. But we appreciate you guys joining us again right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We will see you next time.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian, or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.